here's my record button. All right, this is Roberto. You are back with another Screenbox podcast. Today, we are back with my Highlander crew from Highlander Charter School. My Highlander homies, can you please unmute yourselves and please say what's up?
What's up? What's up?
Hello.
I like how Billy does it mad low key. So Billy does it twice as if you add those together and that's her energy level. I appreciate that. I want to
There
think,
can only be one.
There can only be one. Already jumping into like mad nerdism. I want to thank our listeners. I don't really know why, but I think it's dope that with the world being on fire and being what it is, we came in and asked questions about COVID. We came in and asked questions about the election and more local politics. So we had dope guests on, like the mayor of Providence, like Councilwoman Vega, like former gubernatorial candidate, Dr. Munoz, to talk to us about COVID. I want to thank our listeners for keeping us number two in the world. I can't wait to hit that number one spot, not going to lie, but I want to thank the listeners for keeping us number two in the world. And that's how we got another great guest today. Today, from a technology / sports company, we have Anthony Cooley. He runs IT there. He and I go way, way back and share many, many nerd things. This was a request from the group to say, all right, let's put the pandemic aside for a moment. Let's put politics aside for a moment. And somebody had a very specific question about the Avengers. I think it was Billy, and Billy's first up. So first of all, welcome to the podcast, Anthony Cooley.
Yo, what's up?
Hey.
Glad to be here, man. Glad to be here. This is my second time. Well, officially my third time, right? Because I was on with Redbeard a while back. But this will
Anthony runs his own podcast.
But this will be my second time joining you this year.
Yo, so we have Jeannie, get ready, because we're going to ask, you're going to ask a pop culture question right after Billy. But I'm going to start with Billy. Billy had a question that immediately hit my heart for you. Billy, please give it a go.
Okay. How did you, well, the one that was for Roberto was about Spider-Man dying, but the one for you was about how you felt when Tony Stark died.
How I felt when Tony Stark died. We're definitely talking the MCU, right?
She's talking about the movie universe. I don't think we're talking about comics specifically where he died five times.
Right, right. Because I was literally, that was my next question was going to be, well, which time? but as a nerd, a very proud blurred, I would say it was touching, but it didn't really like affect me in a way that it affected a lot of like your casual moviegoers that aren't real like comic book heads. You know what I mean? Like, so basically I'm used to my characters dying. You know, I'm used to my characters dying off, and it's to a point where I can almost predict when it's going to happen. And I think all the pieces were in place. Everything was set up for Tony Stark to make his exit in this film. We just didn't know how it was going to happen. Was it going to be a death? Was he just going to retire? Was he going to walk into the sunset? And I think we got a little bit of all of that. I think his story came to a natural conclusion, and the moment of death was very moving and touching because of the relationships that he had formed and the fact that we got to know this character over, well, this version of the character, Robert Downey Jr., over the last, what was it, like 10, 11 years at the time that movie came out. So,
And he's sort of the grandfather of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? He was the first big splash movie.
Right, right. Because without that first Iron Man movie, like the concept of a shared universe wasn't even conceptualized yet.
Jeannie, don't forget, I'm coming to you next. But Billy, I want to know how you felt about that moment.
Yes.
It wasn't like watching him die that was bad. It was the funeral really, really touched my heart.
in my life.
Oh yeah, because this I seen his daughter and I was just like, oh no,
Billy,
this is bad.
I gotta say, if you had asked that question, how did you feel about the funeral of Tony Stark, I think I would have given you a very different answer. Because yes, when Happy told her that she could have all the cheeseburgers she wanted, I think I lost it.
Aw, I love you 3000.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like when he was giving his his hologram speech. I'm sorry. Like all of that, all the feels. Yeah, so definitely.
I know this won't surprise you. And I talked to some of the students about this last week when we were getting ready for it on Monday rather. But this will surprise Jeannie. In the theaters, when Spider-Man, spoiler alert, died in that,
Oh, it's way too late for a spoiler alert. We're good.
I stood up and yelled. I was so upset. Spider-Man,
I think I had that reaction.
So much to me.
I think I had that reaction for Black Panther.
Oh, man.
Because I was like, we just got him. We just got Black Panther and now he's gone.
I was really like, Spider-Man's very deep, emotional, and personal to me. So one last thing I want to say before I kick it over to Jeannie and then Isaiah, by the way, is Anthony introduced me on a mutual podcast one day or where I was one of his guests, along with Vita Ayala, who Vita Ayala came on your podcast last year, Highlander, to talk about the work that they are doing at Marvel Comics. So in the comic universe, when Iron Man went away, he was replaced by a new Iron Man who was a young Black woman. She was 16 or 17, and her name is Riri Williams. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because right now, that character is being written by our previous guest, Vita Ayala, who, again, was one of your guests, but also Anthony made that connection and introduced me to Vita Ayala in the first place. So thank you for that, Ant. But I also think that's a really dope thing that a young Black, like, brilliant Iron Man is in the Marvel universe, and it's a girl. Jeannie, we're talking pop culture today. What do you got for a question?
Are you ready? I actually, you know me, Roberto, I like to know what makes people tick. So you and Ant, I want to know, how does your pop culture nerdiness, first of all, how do I suck some of that off and get that energy? Because it makes me crazy. I love listening to Billy and I love listening to all you guys talk. But how does that make you successful personally and professionally? How do you take that nerdiness and transfer it into life?
That's a great question.
Who's first, Roberto?
Oh, that's all you. You're the guest.
No pressure at all. I mean, like, so that's a very that's an easy question for me. The way that it affected me and helped push me to achieve goals, to kind of form who I am today, is basically just making a connection with some of the characters. I was introduced to comic books at a very young age. I want to say I was around like 8 or 9. And it was literally just because we were traveling and I was in the back seat of the car and listen, guys, I'm old. So all you young cats in there, like, I mean, when I was traveling, there was no Game Boy, there was no, Walkman. I mean, when I say Walkman, you probably don't even know what the hell that is. There was no MP3 players. No, do you even know what an MP3 player is? There were no iPods. Man, iPods might even be obsolete for you guys. There were no iPhones. There was no handheld technology. There was nothing that I could hold in my hand and like keep myself distracted. So for me, it was like either a toy that I brought with me, or we stopped, pulled over, went into a convenience store. I forget. I think we were going to Georgia, and I think the place we went into was south of the border. I think my memory serves me pretty well. It was south of the border, and it was on a comic book rack, and it was Ghost Rider. And that was my first foray into, comics. And at eight years old, I wasn't like the best reader, but I was intrigued by the pictures, and I could follow the story. And eventually, you know, probably like, you know, another year or two later, I was actually, you know, flying with these things. And, you know, it was like, I just kept asking for them and I kept getting them. And for me, it was just the characters. The characters resonated with me. Their stories were always like stories like of, you know, high morality and, you know, making sure that you're doing the right thing and, you know, that others matter. And then as I got older and started to, you know, identify with, you know, my race, my ethnicity, you know, my culture, the X-Men became, you know, a staple for me because of the racial undertones. I mean, and I say undertones because when you open up an X-Men book from that era, from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, the majority of the characters, unless you're looking at Storm, were white characters. But the story, the lesson, the theme behind it all was always like closely related to racial division, because you're talking about a group of mutants who were born with these special abilities and powers. And then the rest of the world who were, you know, quote unquote, normal humans were, you know, afraid of them. And they still fought to protect these people and try to like unite and try to make, you know, a world where humans and mutants could live together peacefully. And I always related that to, you know, the white and the black struggle or the racial divide in the United States.
This was born in the civil rights era, right? You got
right
on the X-Men team, you've got somebody who's the prototype of a Martin Luther King. And on the mutant side, or I'm sorry, not the mutant side, but on the, on team aggressive side, you've got Magneto, who's kind of an archetype of Malcolm X, by any means necessary. Not evil,
right?
Just a very different tactic.
And now, right now, that's true. Like, you know, like I'd say probably late 80s, early 90s, maybe. Actually, yeah, around early 90s, I think that really became the case. Like when I started reading, make no mistake, I mean, Magneto was the leader of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. He was literally just straight evil. There was no like, you know, good or bad, you know, tendencies. Like it was like, he was just bad. And you and I have had these conversations before, Rob, so you know where I stand. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I sometimes hesitate to draw that correlation because it's the go-to, and I don't want to vilify Malcolm X at all because he was more reactionary than offensive, right? Like Malcolm X wasn't on the offensive all the time. He was reactionary, and he was by any means necessary, meaning, you know, hey, we're not going to sit back and just take it, right? Where he wasn't just, you know, out there like, you know, blowing up space shuttles.
I think there's like a line. I think there's a line. And I think somewhere along the line, I think you've evolved. And I think somewhere along the line, the comic has evolved. And I think the truth is really in the middle. Mm-hmm. Jeannie, I'm going to try to be very quick because I want to hand it over to Isaiah. But I remember the world being so small, being a have not, being a very poor person, a very poor family, a very poor community, before my dad became a lawyer and stuff. And my world was very small. So when you scope out on the world into the universe and you see that there's stories happening across space with these weird magicians, you know what I mean? And people with lightsabers and special abilities, it was very fascinating to a have not like me, especially the idea of getting powers. Anthony touched on it too, and so did Vita Ayala. The idea of representation is important. So when these characters started to look like me in nerd culture, not just comic books, but when Bruce Leroy instead of Bruce Lee looked like my black, because I was in a black and brown neighborhood, looked like my black neighbors. And when now there's a Puerto Rican Spider-Man, all of these things just make it so much closer to home, even though it's in a galaxy far away. Isaiah, what do you got?
I can ask anything, right?
Anything.
Anything appropriate to a high school level.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah.
Who do you think the best rapper in the game is right now?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Like, yeah, like top five.
That's tough, man. I mean, Black Thought is my my go-to every time that question's asked. But when it comes to how I feel about, you know, recent releases, I got to say Busta is on top. So you got Busta Rhymes, who just released that ELE 2 album, which is just amazing. I'm a big fan of Aesop Rock. I don't know if you know who that is, but dude is, I think he's like one of the most incredible lyricists, you know, as far as like, you know, the variant of his, flow, of his, you know, the words that he uses, the stuff that he rhymes about, like, you just never know what you're going to get. And it's always like surprising and fun and new. So, Aesop is dope. He just dropped a new album. M is great. I think M is like, you know, he's difficult to beat, man. Like, I put M and Black Thought in the same category. So those are my top two, M and Black Thought, and then followed by Busta, in third, Aesop fourth, and then my fifth would probably be, man, my fifth would, my, today, my, like,
he's talking about today. It'd be easy today to be like Rakim or,
you know, I know, right? Like, I'm just thinking,
let me help you out. Kendrick Lamar,
Anderson,
that, Anderson Lamar Pop, that Black Panther whole project and soundtrack together.
Yo, Kendrick's dope.
Kendrick is dope. Dope. Definitely.
I'm gonna say Anderson Pop.
Yo, there's good stuff there.
Just because I like the fact that he's like he's not just playing with a band, like he is the band, and he's the vocalist and he's the lyricist and he creates everything from scratch and from the ground up. So just from a talent perspective, I'm gonna say him. So that he would be my number five.
Definitely friends of the show, Megaran, in the chat. Billy was giving Megaran a shout out, who's on for hip hop. And another friend of the show and one of my favorites, and I was just lucky to actually meet this person while Billy was there, Samus, who's named after the video game character from Metroid, is dope too. And if you don't know these people, again, they're nerdcore, they're fringe, but check them out. Drake the Great, you got a question? Drake, if you with us, unmute. I'm moving over to Sabdiel. Sabdiel, go.
Oh, so me and Roberto have been talking about you, Anthony, and I heard that you're an anime nerd.
Say again. I'm sorry, I didn't make that out.
Sorry, you're an anime nerd, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like, so my anime nerdiness is directly proportionate to my age. So like, if you're gonna ask me about like new anime stuff, like I'm gonna try to hang with you. So go ahead.
No, I got my oldies. I love my old anime. Word. So let me tell you. Yeah. So you think the anime style? What? Oh. No, it's just because I'm lying. So do you think that the new anime style that they adopted is better than the old style than trying? And what's your favorite anime of the century? My favorite one from the old century has to be Kenshin Kimura.
So I don't really think that this, it depends on what we're talking about, because I think I've seen new stuff that still kind of uses the old style.
Like drawing.
Right. But I've also seen like stuff that kind of fits that, like, you know, the Pokemon mold and stuff like that, like where it's like real cutesy and you know, super dynamic, like as far as like, you know, perspectives and stuff like that they use. So I would say everything has its place. That's where I'm going to go with this. I know this is a real, it sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's true. Everything has its place and it depends on the mood that I'm in. You know, if I feel like sitting down and watching something that's super high energy and cute, or if I want to watch something that's more serious in tone. As far as like my favorite, I would say like going back, Ninja Scroll is still like one of the tops for me, and the original Ghost in the Shell would be the two. Akira was real dope because, like, I remember reading the manga and, you know, seeing that they were doing they were trying to put together a feature film. Then I read like the Viz version where it was, or the Epic Comics version where they actually had, you know, the manga in color, which was really dope. And then, you know, all of a sudden we got the anime. So it was almost like this progression. I got to see everything just come together from the ground up. So that was real cool. So I would say those three would be like my tops.
Any slice of life?
What's that?
Any slice of that life anime you watch?
I'm not. You're breaking up.
I say any slice of life that you watch.
Oh, slice of life?
Yeah. I personally like YKA.
Sabdiel, put your favorites in the chat box. I'll make sure to read off your suggestions to our audience as well.
People doing all the time is comparing like Drake to like
Isaiah. Your mic unmuted.
Oh snap! Is my mic unmuted?
Yo, I thought you were talking to us. Yo, number two podcast in the world. This is what happens. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop like caring about my audio quality and all that shit. I'm just gonna wing it from now on.
We'll be bugging
sometimes. I'm very sorry about this.
It's all good, bro.
Sabdiel, put it in the chat. That it's getting harder and harder to hear you. So put your recommendations in the chat. I want our group to know this stuff. I want to tell you though, Studio Ghibli. Where Steambox with our students had a chance to visit twice already in Japan is probably my favorite studio, but I love One Punch Man, I love Death Note, and I love The Last Airbender. I'm late to the party. I just caught up on that this summer during the pandemic, and that has been amazing. And if you haven't checked out The Last Airbender, all of y'all need to check out The Last Airbender. It's just amazing.
Oh, Tokyo Ghoul is also is now becoming a fave of mine. I actually started watching the first season and it's outstanding. And yes, Avatar The Last Airbender is dope. I agree with you there, and I'm starting to get into Legend of Korra.
Yo, me too. I'm late on Korra. I just want to feel about Korra like I felt about Avatar The Last Airbender. And I don't. It's close, but it just feels like a distant second. Mifta, what do you got for us, Mifta?
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing?
It's Mifta, the imposter.
All right, so you said I'm Busta Rhymes at first, so I'm wondering where you have like Michael Jackson and Tupac.
Wait, did you say Michael Jackson?
Yeah, Jackson, Tupac, one. Two
rappers, you know. Like Neverland Michael Jackson?
Yeah, one and only.
Oh, because he was talking. I mean, like,
are you starting to shame Michael Jackson? Now we know that there are things that he might. Maybe we should shame him.
Listen, my dude. I'm not trying to shame him. I'm just trying to clarify. I was just trying to clarify because
other Michael Jackson is he asking you about?
Dude, we were talking about rap music, and he's coming out with Michael Jackson. Like, what's going on?
But you're acting like you've never heard of this dude. You're acting like Michael Jackson is this new and upcoming fringe artist that he listens to.
I thought maybe there was a guy who's calling himself Michael Jackson because it was like, I don't know, like I'm the GOAT or something. Like, I don't know, like maybe that was some new thing the kids are doing nowadays. Like when you're dope, you're Michael Jackson or something. I don't know.
So besides hip hop, give me three of your favorites. I feel like I want you to throw in Metallica and explain that to us.
Like, yeah, I will. Yeah. I will. Look, Metallica holds a place in my heart, man. Like, I'm a big instrument person. I love listening to music. Like, when it comes down to like just analyzing like how all the pieces fit together, and when people are like experts at the instruments that they play, and Metallica. Back in the day, I used to play bass. And Metallica has this bassist that is, well, was, because he passed away, was, in my opinion, like the greatest bass player, you know, in the history of, I would say, rock and roll at least, because I don't know much about like other genres like besides hip hop and R&B and stuff. So, But I mean, like, this dude is the greatest, man, Cliff Burton. And like, just listening and listening to, like, it kind of blended a lot of different like genres, like between like rock, metal, classical music, so on and so forth. So Metallica is definitely, you know, outside of hip hop, Metallica is, you know, one of the top five for me. who else? Michael Jackson, definitely. I mean, you can't deny that he gave more to the music industry than any other pop artist in the history of music, man. Like, the dude was a phenom. Prince. Rob is more of a Prince head than me, but, you know, when Let's Go Crazy comes on, I mean, who's not dancing, right? Like, who's not, like, even if it's just in your head, who's not dancing? Let's Go Crazy, Party Like It's 1999. I mean, dude was incredible.
So you said Metallica, Dead Prince.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. So you're naming your top three, right? Who's your name?
Who's my favorite?
Yeah, like, I'm saying, like, your all-time favorite artist.
All-time favorite artist outside of hip-hop.
No, like, all-time, like, goals, you know.
Oh, including hip-hop.
The best of the best with music.
Rakim.
Who?
Rakim.
Rakim?
Eric B. and Rakim. If you don't know, you better ask somebody, brother. That's like, that's the man right there, bro.
Yo, my, like, head just caught fire when he said, who?
Yeah, because, like, that's B. like, let me just explain something, because, I mean, I want to go on a tangent right now, a short one. Anybody you're listening to now owes their career to Rakim, and that is truth. So if you don't know and you haven't heard, look him up. You can find his music everywhere. Look for the earlier albums first, and then, like, you know, dive into his later stuff. But I mean, like, he changed the game, man. Like, he changed everything from, like, it's all about rhyme pattern. And it went from, you know, the old school, like, King of Rock, Run DMC style to Rakim real quick. And then everybody started changing up how they were flowing and the rhyme patterns and, you know, just the delivery method. And he changed the game 100%, and he will always be my number one. That is all.
Okay, that's good. So do you like Michael Jackson's music or not?
yes, I do like Michael Jackson.
He is a human. By the way, when you mentioned, somebody else asked about hip hop earlier, and when you mentioned Black Thought first, when people, Black Thought is known, his tagline is your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And when Rakim was asked who the best rapper is, Rakim says Black Thought, which is a whole interesting way to bring the conversation to a circle. Thank you for your question. And thank you for being your true self this time and not coming in the skin of Isaiah. I appreciate that. Arjelis asks, I got
to hold on before you get to Arjelis real quick. I just want to find out from you, Rob. Do you agree with me? The impact of Rakim on the industry. I mean, does a Nas exist? Does a Black Thought exist? Does any of that stuff exist without Rakim changing the game?
Rakim elevated it to a real thoughtful poetry behind just making rhymes. You know what I mean? Like, Rakim. So here's my answer, and everybody take notice, because you're all participating in Steambox right now, today, in this moment. You are all Steambox students, and Steambox got started because I am a spiteful dude. Here's something that happened one day another organization pissed me off because they weren't treating our students well, and a Rakim line resonated in my head. You ever have those moments where a line from a movie or a line from a song resonates with you and guides you and tells you what to do? Here's what Rakim had said that was going on in my head when this white lady pissed me the hell off. Rakim had a line that says, cool, because I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull the plug, and then jet. And that was how I responded. That's how I responded to that organization. I was like, F this organization. They're not treating our students well. I'm getting the hell out of here and I'm taking my students with me. That's how Steambox got started, on a Rakim line. So So there's a little bit of trivia for you, and I hope that answers your question, Ant, because it's Rakim not only guided a number of MCs, but guided the most important thing in my life, which is besides my son, which is Steambox. So Argelis wants to know who your favorite villain is. And I wouldn't stick with comic books. I would just, who's your favorite villain? Who's the best villain?
Donald Trump.
Oh, shit. And then I would probably go back to nerd stuff. But yeah. So explain.
All right, I'll explain. I mean, like, so he's the classic villain. Like, classic villain. Like, everything he does makes no sense. And then he talks about it ad nauseum. And when you look in any comic book in history, when you look at villains in movies, like, all they do is stuff that doesn't make sense, and they talk about it ad nauseum. And so to have that in real life and have that be a real life character in my life and the bane of my existence, and I say that, I mean that. So bane of my existence.
We've got a MAGA student in the room. So with respect, point out a moment, because this is your answer, and I think that's fair. I don't think you should tiptoe around it for anybody. And just like I don't ask that student to tiptoe around stuff. But give me a moment where you can point to, where you can be like, oh, this motherfucker is a villain.
Oh, all right. So one morning I woke up, as I did many mornings in the pandemic. I woke up and I saw a headline that was about something that Donald Trump did. Now, this thing that he did was, he said, we are going to eliminate any kind of diversity training and racial discussion in government office, right? So like any of the government offices, branches of government, any of the offices out there, they weren't able to, you know, have any kind of diversity training or anything like that, because, and I quote, it is un-American. It's anti-American. And when I read that, that was the moment that I said to myself, wow, this is some straight supervillain shit. Like, because you're talking about something that obviously exists, has existed for the longest time. We were finally starting to make strides, and it's not like that derailed anything, but we're making strides and people are acknowledging that there's a problem. People are acknowledging that things need to change and things need to be done. But here you are, and you're going to just like pull the plug on any funding for programs. And actually, I think, matter of fact, I think they banned it in a sense where, like, you just can't even do it. Like, even if you decided to do it on your own without funding, it just can't be done. It's not happening in a government facility. So to do that, that's supervillain stuff to me. That's like, okay, well, we're gonna systemically take this and we're gonna remove it from anything, and we're going to indoctrinate, because now they're also talking about indoctrinating the children to say, like, well, you have to stand up and you have to pledge allegiance to the flag and you have to love America.
Speaking of children, I would have thought throwing children in cages would have been the supervillain answer, or bragging about sexually assaulting women, talking about grabbing by the pussy. But
there's so much, right? But I mean, like, why, that was the most recent example.
No, but here's why your answer is important, because all these students are here to learn. They're here to evolve and grow. I value evolution above all else. I mentioned Steambox and the importance of that. But I also mentioned my son. I said, next to my son, you know, those are the most important things. I named my son Kaizen, which is about evolution. That's a Japanese word for evolution and continuous growth. And if we're taking away opportunities to learn, opportunities to grow, especially in a pandemic, not of health, but of race,
right.
You're taking away an opportunity for people who need to learn more. You're taking those opportunities away. I have never during this process seen one of my students use the chat box for art. And I'm really appreciating watching Yanel draw in the chat box using the keyboard. Yanel, yeah, you up next.
In that same article, like, he started that 1776 program where he's telling you that they're teaching kids to love America, right? Like, you don't teach somebody to love something. You either love it or you don't. But to say that you're teaching somebody to love something, to me, sounds like brainwashing or indoctrination. And again, that points to some James Bond villainy stuff. anyway, sorry, I just had to tack that on. But yes, Yanhel, what's up?
So basically, what do you feel about Drake?
I mean, he's making money. That's about that's all I got.
Do you not like him?
You're not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I can't look, man, to say I don't like somebody, man, you gotta be putting out something in the world that makes me feel that way. And he's not doing that, but he is not doing anything to make me say that I like him. so I'm gonna say that I have no feelings on the subject.
Your answer was one big shrug emoji.
Yeah.
Yanhel, okay. Follow up. Yanhel,
what happened?
Follow up.
I
can follow up.
All right, I'll let Isaiah follow up. He's a big Drake fan.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Are you defending
yourself? Yes, I'll answer the clarifying question. Let me answer it.
Right, the clarifying question is, are we talking about Drake, the hip-hop artist, or Drake, the dude that's in this channel?
No, Drake, the hip-hop artist.
All right, yeah, so my answer stands. I mean, Drake, the Drake in this channel is chill. Wow. My answer stands.
What do you say? So for the last decade or so, you don't think, you know, he's been the top leading, you know, artist worldwide
in sales, and that's where Anthony gave him credit. So Anthony did give him credit and said he's making money.
He's got people that he's.
But I'm talking about like his, the content he puts out. You don't think it's like
bomb? No, I think
why is that?
Because I think Drake. I mean, if man. I have the same feelings about Drake's tracks as I do about like country music, man. Like if I want to be depressed and
not country music, chill.
And look,
not
and
country, look, not country.
I'm just saying, if I want to be depressed and I want to like, you know, sit in my tears and stuff, and I'd be like, yo, I'm a huge Drake fan, and I'd be reminiscing all the time. But I don't. I want to be amped up. I want to be. You know, I want stuff that is relevant to me. Like,
Hold on. I'm sorry. We can come back to Drake. Ant, check your phone. But I want to hit Billy's last question because I know her computer's dying and Billy is old school Steambox.
I forgot my question.
God damn it, Billy.
Damn it, Billy.
My question was Marvel or DC?
Marvel or DC? Rob knows this answer. It's Marvel all day. DC's dope. I like a lot of the stuff that they do, but they're always and forever trying to reset their stuff, and it makes it really hard to, you know, for a reader or an audience or even a creator to maintain any kind of momentum. So like, you know, right now Batman is the best it's ever been. Superman is dope. I love Brian Michael Bendis. And Batman and the Outsiders, I actually just did an interview with the writer of that series, Brian Edward Hill, and that was great. So, I mean, DC has great stuff to read, but when it comes to a universe and something that I've been following and something that has been building on itself year over year, Marvel is the one. Rob, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm mute.
Argelis agrees. Marvel. I heard somebody shout DC. Billy, where you at? Marvel or DC?
I DC. Don't like DC because all of their movies. No offense to anyone, but all of their movies are bad except for Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Yeah,
those
agreed.
Are like one of the only two best movies I think they made.
And like Aquaman was like on the fence. It was like,
yes.
It was like good. It was good because it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. Who's Martha? Why did you say that name? Martha.
Let's be friends.
Your name's Martha. Your mom's name is Martha. We're best friends. It became stepbrothers all of a sudden. Yo, so Yanhel, is Yanhel a DC guy? Is that what's happening?
No, Taylor Swift. That was when I was a kid. Okay. Today, where I stand is I don't care. Okay? I don't like Marvel or DC because, you know, I'm not a nerd.
Oh, excuse me. Shots fired. I promise I'm giving him a wedgie next time I walk through high. I'm going to give him the full nerd experience. I'm going to shove him in a locker.
I don't know. I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, they both suck. This is a conversation that we've had a number of times. I can say that the difference to me has been that DC to me is about the cape, right? Like Superman, we know he's got the big red cape. He's a big icon, blah, blah, blah. And Marvel to me is about the characters beneath the mask. It's the characters underneath them. Like I know all about Peter Parker and Miles Morales, this Puerto Rican kid in the hood. I know all about the things and the people that he's talking to, but like who does Superman talk to when he puts on his stupid glasses and he's Clark Kent? He goes and writes for a newspaper and it's bland and boring. So I really like that the Marvel universe is fleshed out in that way. And that there's characters. Anthony and I used to debate. There was a comic book where Spider-Man had a dog living next door to him. And I didn't know what was going on with that dog. I was trying to figure out, yo, what's up?
And we never found out.
Right.
They never revealed the issue with the dog. And that was so cool because the dogs are like that, right? Like, I mean, like they just do stupid stuff. Like they just look at you weird or like do something weird. And then like, you never know why. And I'm not saying that, you know, Homeboy was that smart. Well, who was it? It was who was the writer on that? That was I forget who it was. But anyway, I'm not saying he was that brilliant where he did that, but I mean just forgetting about it and leaving it alone was dope. That
we could get back to Drake before we wrap up and some other things. No, I don't even want to talk about Drake with you guys. That's why he's calling us nerd. That's why all of a sudden he's like, I'm not a nerd like you, because we shit on Drake. He's upset about that.
I don't think I shit on Drake. I just said Drake's not for me. Like, I mean, he's for other people. Like, you know,
he's literally like what, like literally, he's literally like almost top 10 rappers of all time.
So when somebody asked, and again, we'll come back to Drake in a second, but when I want to get Subdiel had pointed out Evangelion, Kenshin Himura, Initial D. I love Initial D. Perfect Blue, Cowboy Bebop. So he's talking some old school anime with his recommendations. So thank you, yep. Subdiel, for sharing those. I know we are running out of time, so I want to finish on the Drake bit. Somebody asked about if not Drake, who's carrying hip hop over the past few years. And I know Anthony and I talk about the roots and blah, 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 but we know that Rakim and Black Thought have not been carrying they've not been on the front of hip hop in the past few years. But again, I would refer you back to Kendrick Lamar for my taste or J. Cole, right? Like J. Cole's got some fire and a lot of meaningful stuff that I think is super dope. I love the art beneath it. I love the lyrics and stuff like that. Drake does have a sound. He does have a sound that is oftentimes dope, no doubt. And he's a moneymaker. He knows how to sell. But that's my take on it. I want to hear. So Drake in this group, and I want to hear Yanhel if he's still here. Tell me why Drake is so important to you guys. We're not crapping on Drake. I just want to hear why.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I am not a fan of Drake. But I do listen to Drake, you know?
Yep.
I just, you know.
I'm the biggest fan of Drake in the world. And if you want to talk about Drake, we can talk about Drake. We can talk about Drake all day. What do you want to know?
Listen, Drake's not hearing nothing. It's a free fall for now.
I think that was Isaiah. In 2 minutes, yes. I'm going to ask Ant if he wants to give shout outs and where people should check Ant out. But in between those 2 minutes, school me and Ant on what we're missing out on with Drake.
I just think we grew up in, you know, two different, you know, time eras. You know what I'm saying? I grew up where Drake was, you know, the hottest rapper out, you know, dropping things that I was, you know, listening to, that my generation was listening to, while you guys were on the other hand, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, I still went back in time, listened to, you know, Tupac, Biggie, and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I just think that Drake, like the things he drops, the things he talks about within his music, the things, you know, the lyrics, like if you really listen to Drake, you can kind of, you know, get a description of, you know, the type of rapper he is. But he's not, you know, the type of rapper that has one type of flow, you know what I'm saying? He can bounce around, you know, he sings, you know what I'm saying? He's done a lot of things with the way music can be delivered to people that, you know, I don't think other rappers have, like, you know, managed to, you know, do as well. Like, Drake has opened doors for, you know, rappers coming up nowadays, you know, rappers that are, you know, in my generation, like I said, once again, you know, that are, you know, making music nowadays. So I just feel like, you know, we all
appreciate that. And I actually agree with a lot of some of the things that you were saying. There's a lot of stuff around 2000 that hit me and maybe turned me off a little bit. So you're right about the generational gap. Yeah. And at first I was one of those dudes that like, this generation sucks. I was that guy for a minute. And then somebody was like, no, have you listened to this from Logic? No, have you listened to this from J. Cole? Like 1985 still blows my mind, right? Like, no, have you listened to this from Kendrick? And even some Drake stuff. And it reminded me, and Ant, we should be reminded of this, that when we look at their generation, we're seeing the shit in the front. We're seeing the shit in the front, the commercial, their commercial ass rappers is what we're seeing.
Yeah. Right.
But if Isaiah and Yanhel and everybody else in this group looked at our generation, they're not going to see Rakim and Black Thought right off the bat. They're not going to see that. What they're going to see is the corny ass people in the front, like Hammer, right? Or Vanilla Ice.
Right.
And shit like that.
Right. Or Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, right. I love Yanhel and Sabdiel talk about Wu-Tang right now in the chat. Aunt and I both love Lil Dicky. So
Yeah. Lil Dicky is hilarious. How about Nas? Oh, Nas, yeah. I mean, it depends on what era, though. Because Nas went through his little phase.
How about Tentacion?
The latest album that he had, I forget the name of it, though. I mean, it's something about King. Something about a king or something like that. But that latest album was dope. I would say for me, and this is, again, this isn't shitting on Drake, but Drake, to me, is the...
We were in a good place, and
I know. I'm gonna fuck it up, but here it is. Listen. Here it is, though. Like for me, Drake is the equivalent of a big budget summer blockbuster by like a Michael Bay, right? Like where there's a lot of flash, there's a lot of high production value. It's entertaining in the moment. You know, I can listen to it, but. I'm not relating to it. I'm not hearing anything that's blowing my mind as far as the underlying message or content. Where I'm more of I like The Lighthouse, right? Mm-hmm. Like I like a movie that's gonna challenge my thought, you know what I'm saying, and the way that I see
things. Do I need to see The Lighthouse?
The Lighthouse is dope. Yes, you do need to see it.
Listen, I'm sorry we're out of time, but I want to know. I know you're doing stuff with I know we didn't with intent talk about DK, but I know you're doing stuff with DK. Isaiah, if you can meet, thank you. But where should people follow you? What do you want to direct people to? Who do you want to give a shout out to before we go?
Well, right now, the Tony and Cooley show is gonna be starting up again soon. It used to be Redbeard Podcast. We're gonna be doing we're taking it back to the Redbeard Podcast days where we just kind of like get around and like just talk about, you know, whatever. We're not very we're not thematic. We're actually just gonna get into whatever's on our mind, whether it's current events, movies, comic books, video games, whatever. So we're getting back to the fun side of things, and you know, we'll be starting up soon. It's Tony and Cooley, the Tony and Cooley show, on Apple Podcasts or any other streaming platform that you might be on. The other thing that is near and dear to my heart, you won't be seeing until probably mid-2021. but I am working very hard right now on a documentary that is literally, I mean, it's made for people like your students. Like I'm trying to show a side of the industry, the comic book industry, the movie industry, that has people like them creating things. So I've had interviews with the person you mentioned before, Vita. They were very gracious and you know, gave me some of their time. You know, I had an interview with Brian Edward Hill. I interviewed Larry Houston, who you know from our days.
The amazing Larry Houston. I can't wait to get you Ta-Nehisi Coates too. And hopefully we can rebound and find a way to do that one together.
Yeah, if we can, man, that'd be great.
We will have you back on. We will definitely have you back on to talk about that. Yo, man, I really appreciate your time. This has been Steambox from Highlander with the amazing Anthony Cooley from the Tony and Cooley Show. Isaiah Sabdiel, can you unmute your microphones? Anthony, help us out. We are going to say peace out from Steambox Highlander. So go.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Hey, the digital peace out from Sabdiel. Isaiah's still muted, but I'm going to cut it there. Peace out, everybody.